Alpha, the God who heals you. And he's here this morning. Just saying Jehovah Rapha is here in this room today. And he's with you who are watching. How many need a healing in your body? How many know somebody that needs a healing in their body? We're in a sick world, aren't we? All because of the curse. But guess who came to the cross? And you know, I disagreed with that one phrase in that song, God's going to do it. He's going to do it. That's not true. He's already done it. Isaiah 53:5, 1 Peter 2:24 says we were and we are healed. He already did. He said it's finished. He can do no more. And that's why if you're sitting here this morning, I'm going to preach on Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. That's one of the main doctrines in the scriptures too that needs to be preached on in the hour we're living. My personal thought, as we see the Lord's near coming to this world, getting ready to rapture his church home. Lynn theory. I believe God's people are going to walk in total healing. And when that trumpet's blowing, when that shout from our Lord says, come up hither, we're all going to be healed. You know, when the Israelites left Israel, not one of them got sick. Isn't that something? Not one of them. Do you think they felt it? Probably not. Maybe did. I don't know. But scripture tells me God supplied every need they had. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. And they were all in good health. And there was probably, I'll touch on that, but there was probably anywhere from 3.5 million to 6 million people that came out of Egypt. Jehovah Rapha was with them. Aren't you excited?
Amen.
I'm excited. Because I know that everyone in here, raise your hand, that you are healed. And those listening that have illness in your body, you are healed. That manifestation will take place as we put our total trust in him. Now, I understand there's other reasons why people are not, but basically, right there, Jehovah Rapha is the God who heals. He's the one you say, thank you, Lord, for healing me. You know, when Jesus told the disciples to go out and heal the sick, they didn't do the healing. Jehovah Rapha was in them, with them. And when they laid hands on the sick, they were healed. And we got to remember that when we come forward to be prayed for too, it's not the pastor, it's not somebody else. It helps to have that intercessory, but it's God who does and has done the healing already because of the cross. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning, Lord, we stand before you, the mighty God. You are Jehovah Rapha, one of your many names that supplies all of our needs. And Lord, you are the God who heals. And I ask, Lord, that your anointing be here today. And let it flow through that camera also, Lord, to those that are watching, dealing with struggles in their life, Father, dealing with health problems, emotional problems, mental problems. Nothing for you, Lord. You already healed them. So, Lord, let us today be in unity within this church and those watching, Father, that we're putting our trust in you. Only you. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted,
amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I like that voice. I get that main cheerleader right here. Every church has got one. Lee, thank you. Hallelujah. How many like humor?
Yeah.
Well, I learned a long time ago never to use God's word for humor, and I never will. But I want to read Proverbs 17:22 to you. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. You think God's a God of humor?
He
is. That's why he put it in there. A merry heart. Don't. If you're a merry person, you're an upbeat person, and you like to have fun lightheartedly in a clean, pure way and everything, stay that way. Don't ever let anybody put you down for it. Don't let the devil rob that from you, because that is something that God blessed us with, and he needs in the church body today more than ever. He needs merry people. Only one amen and one thumb. Hallelujah. It's a proven fact of modern health science that a person's mental, spiritual health is strongly correlated with physical health and is described as a powerful form of medicine due to its numerous health problems. From a merry heart. Maybe we'd feel better if we'd start having a positive, merry heart thought. Such as stress relief, immune system boost, pain relief, heart health, calorie burning. By the way, laughing for 10 can lose 40 calories. I got rid of 3. Miss Smith was assigned to be a monitor on the playground and caught little Johnny making ugly faces at scaring other kids. Smiling sweetly, she said, "Johnny, when I was a child, I was told that if I made an ugly face, it would freeze and I would stay like that." Johnny looked up and replied, "Well, you can't say you weren't warned." Isn't it good to laugh? You know, there have been people who would begin to laugh and all of a sudden they would no longer feel their pain, their sadness, because a merry heart is something that God puts in us. And that's why you work hard to say, "Lord, I want a merry heart in my life." We don't have to be serious 100% of our life. Amen?
Amen.
And we need to be around people who have merry hearts that are able to encourage and lift up people and make them chuckle. I might give you one more little humor through this, because you need to laugh too. So if you brought your Bibles, I haven't asked that for a long time. How many brought Bibles today? Hey, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 through 26. Now, please stay with me. You know, if you tune me out, not because of me, just I'm talking about the Word of God. If you tune me out or you get up and leave, you miss what God wants to do. Amen? You do. You miss it. And that's church. And listen to the Word of God, no matter who's preaching it. So that when you leave, the Holy Spirit can bring it to remembrance. Exodus chapter 15, 22, 26. So Moses, he brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Can you imagine that? And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink? What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, which he had cast into the waters. The waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." There was 4 conditions in that scripture for healing. Did you hear them? I'm just going to read them quickly here. We got to hear himself. He said, "Listen, wilt do that which is right in his sight. Are you doing what is right in the sight of God in our life? Wilt give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, ordinances. And again, you're going to read that in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 15, confirming that. There's actually a third one too, but I didn't get it down. This is one of the most important passages in Scripture, for it is the fountainhead of revelation of one of the greatest aspects of God's nature. God is a healer. Let's look at what happened to the Israelites and how God used it to give a new revelation to the people of God about who he truly is. Christians will always have problems in this world. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
We will always have that. Don't let anybody fool you. If you're a brand new Christian, I've heard that people say, boy, you come to Jesus and your life is perfect and everything's wonderful. Uh-uh. The battle just begins. Satan doesn't attack us so much when we're not living for Jesus. You give your life to Jesus. That's why I had one person say, how come Christians seem like they always got so many problems? Because I said, they got a devil fighting against them, trying to rob them back from what God gave them. He does. The devil comes after those who said, Lord, help me to live a holy life. Those are the ones he comes with the doubt. And this is the battleground right here. He will use our physical, our emotional self to discourage us through whatever way he's going to do it. And a lot of times he can put sickness upon us too if we're where we are not to be. So we need to be aware of that at all times. God is a healer. John 16:33 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. God always made sure he encouraged us with a promise. But you can take heart to what God said. He said, I will get you through it no matter what it is. Keep your eyes on me, the Prince of Peace. I will give you peace. While troubles are inevitable, Christians are called to find hope in Christ. That's who we look to. Then hope can sustain us through life's challenges. When we keep our eyes. That's why it's important to read the Word daily, people. You can't keep your eyes on Jesus if you're not reading the Word. You got to read the Word daily. Even if it's a chapter. And even if it's just a verse, read it. It'll make you think of Jesus. Because Psalms 50:15 says, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver. Glorify the Lord when he delivers us from trouble, right? No? I will. We glorify his mighty name. If he brings healing into your life, deliverance into your life, whatever that is, you're going to glorify him. That's the word. Psalms 91:15, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Listen here now, people. How many want to live a long life? Listen to here. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. That came from God. I'm not mad. I'm telling you the truth. Theologically, this phrase underscores the doctrine of original sin when it's talking about and need for redemption. Because of sin is why we have all these problems in our world today. Poverty, sickness, disease. We blame it sometimes on God. God isn't the problem. The devil is, and man is, because man broke God's law. He sinned against God, and those God warned, the day that happens, death will come into the world, and it did. And we're paying the price. It's a glorious deliverance. The Israelites had come out of Egypt. Coming out of Egypt representing a foreshadow of salvation. And passed through the Red Sea. And this is really representing baptism in a new life when they went through the Red Sea. 1 Corinthians 10:2 says, and we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. That represented baptism into being born again as an example way back then. Both the clouds and the sea surrounded them, just as baptismal waters surround a new Christian being baptized. They have traveled for 3 long. And again, I've heard all the way from 3.5 million to 6 million people. Nobody's 100% sure, but I know it was in the millions. But they traveled for 3 long hot days without a drop of water. How many love your water, your water bottles? Could you go a whole 3 days without taking a sip? Well, they were in the desert with no water to quench the thirst. 3.5 to 6 million people were thirsty, and there's no water in the desert. I don't know what the temperature was. Could it have been up in 100 degrees? Maybe. They, you know, give them all a drink. I mean, that's a lot of people that needed a drink. When they finally came to the place, they had some water. The water was bitter. Wasn't that disappointing? You get there and you, all of a sudden this water's horrible. We can't drink this stuff. They couldn't be drunk. It was too bitter. They would soon die without water. Can you imagine the rumors and the gossip and the complaining going among 3.5 to 4 to 6 million people? It must sound like a jet running over. Their throats were dry and parched already. Fear gripped them. The people murmured against Moses. Moses really messed up. How was Moses going to carry all that water anyway? But he led us in the wrong direction. See, the devil will lie to people to come to Jesus. And he'll say to them, that pastor led you the wrong way. That's a lie of the devil of hell. Just like the devil lied to the people in the wilderness that Moses led them the wrong way. Moses didn't lead them the wrong way. Moses was leading them the right way. And when you lead somebody to Jesus Christ, you let them know that the devil's going to try to rob and steal that away from you. But here's God's attitude toward murmuring. I like to keep bringing this because many times Christians are complainers of murmurs. 1 Corinthians 10:10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Complaining and murmuring is not a healthy thing to do. That was God to put that down there. He doesn't like murmuring. He doesn't like complaining. You know why he doesn't? Because he's our source. He knows what he's doing. Even if we don't think he is, he knows exactly what he's permitting and allowing in every one of our lives. He knows it. And we're not to be complainers and murmurers. We're to look to him and say, God, I may not understand it, but I know, just like the song, I know you're working even when I don't feel it. That's faith. Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. That's why when people are complaining and murmuring, this isn't right, that isn't right, oh, whatever, whatever the complaint is, you're destroying yourself spiritually. Doesn't do any good to complain and murmur. I found that out a long time ago. I can go and complain about something, doesn't do a bit of good. It's better to trust the Lord in all things. Pray about it, everything.
Amen.
Pray about everything. Pray about everything. God's grace and mercy is very patient, but it can also lead to judgment when we complain and murmur all the time. Very powerful what comes out of these lips and yours. Life and death. Complaining, complaining, complaining. Nothing's ever good enough. You're never happy. Something's always wrong. You can only see the negative. Whatever the case is, it's dangerous. You become that type of person. You need a merry heart.
Amen.
You need a merry heart. That'll help you with that complaining and murmuring. 3 days before they seen the Lord deliver them from 430 years they were in bondage. Think about that. Centuries. 430 years that people were in bondage. And slavery. They worked them. They beat them. They killed them. In slavery. And God made it impossible. I mean, they escaped from that also through the Red Sea. Just think, he opened the Red Sea for them. And he utterly defeated the enemy that was after him. That's what God was doing for them. They wondered, can it get any better than this? Glory to God. But 3 days later in the wilderness without water, they were wondering what happened. Where's God now? Oh, God was wonderful. What a great, wonderful God. He did this for me this time and delivered us and got us through the Red Sea, defeated our enemy and everything. Walking around and looking at the enemy. Isn't our God just great and wonderful? And all of a sudden, there was no water for 3 days. Where is that God? What kind of a God is that? That would leave me 3 days in the desert without water. I believe God was testing them. He was checking their hearts out. But they complained and murmured and almost drove Moses nuts. He wanted to pull his hair out. When we get saved, we think everybody around us will be excited as we were. I know I did. When I got saved, man, I was so excited. I started telling everybody, and I found out everybody wasn't excited like I was. In my own family, I got rebuked. I got asked, forget you. It created family problems. But I was still excited. I kept on witnessing no matter what. I didn't care, but I'll tell you what, not everybody's excited when you get saved. But things often turn out different than we planned, don't they? But you know something? I loved Jesus more than I did about the people who I witnessed to and disagreed with it. My wife, too, we were both called, we just had a religious experience. No, we didn't have a religious experience. We had a relational experience. Amen. We had religion. Yeah. Lutheran and God. Okay. Time for some humor, I think. This is about an exercise class, by the way. Like the 65-year-old lady who decided to join an exercise class and told her daughter, Lucy. Lucy said, "That was brave of you, Mom. So how did it go?" asked Lucy. "Well, for 30 minutes I sweated by bending, twisting, pulling, pushing, and hopping up and down. But then by the time I got my leotards on, the class was over." But you know something, there's Christians who have dry places too, right? You ever been in a dry place? I have. You don't feel God, you don't see Him, don't sense Him, nothing. And there's some of you may be in here today that you're in a dry place. There's no water. You haven't had it for a while. I thought being a Christian meant I'm always happy. By the way, did you know that, what's that guy, rich guy's name? Musk. Leon Musk. He's the first trillionaire in the billionaire this past week. Our first trillionaire in the world. And you know the statement he made? He said, money does not make you happy. Coming from a trillionaire. You know why he wasn't happy? Because he had $1 trillion. What can you do with $1 trillion? You hardly spend that in a lifetime. Have anything you want. Go anywhere you want. Do anything you want. There's no challenge to life. What does it gain a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Psalms 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of only some of them.
No.
All. I couldn't hide it. Just saying, God delivers us from all of them. But God showed Moses a tree. And that tree is interesting, that when thrown into those dry places, those bitter places, the things hard for the natural mind to endure, they're made sweet. The waters were made sweet so they could drink it. That tree is a type of Christ on the cross. That's what God did for you and I. He gave us a tree. And the bitterness of life, He took away by what He did on that cross. And that was a type of Christ back there when He put that tree. He told her, and it becomes sweet. Oh, how sweet it is to serve Jesus. When the cross is the central focus of our life, our trials and tests are made sweet. Whenever you're going through a hard time, you can always look to the cross where our Savior hung. And it'll bring a sweetness to your soul, saying, this is not forever. This too shall pass away. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Amen. Christians have always found that God's presence with us and his grace in us can turn our wilderness into joy. Jesus. The world mocks him. They make fun of him. They make fun of Christians when we talk about Jesus. But the reason they do is because inside they're dead. Dead people can talk that way. But in the Christian, there's life. There's a new life because Christ came and entered us through his Holy Spirit. Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. For all eternity. That's the promise of God when we come to him and give our lives to him. If you're one of those difficult of life right now, even though it may be challenging to do, immerse yourself in the Word of God. And it may be the hardest thing you can do, but pick it up and read it. Begin to read it. Just open the Bible, ask the Holy Spirit, what can I get from this? Wherever you open it up, the Holy Spirit can do the ministry. But immerse yourself into this, that when you're going through it, you will have joy. It will come.
Amen.
It will come. But a lot of people don't, because when they go into trouble, I've had brothers and sisters who went back into the world when trials and tribulations came. And they got worse than before they got saved. Go to him. As I read two promises before, he said, I hear you. I'm with you. And I'll deliver you. You won't know that unless you get back into the Word, because we're leaky vessels. We forget sometimes what God said. But if you get in here and keep it in your heart, the Holy Spirit can bring it back to you. That's why it's so vitally important to read this Bible as often as you can. It is a living Bible. It changes with your life, your vocation, your family. It changes everything in here. There's living things going on in this Word that will give you new life and new joy and new happiness and strength and deliverance.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I just saw a video of a missionary who took a whole bunch of Bibles into China. And they put the camera on the people, young and old, young children, older parents. They were trying to grab those Bibles. Each one wanted a Bible, and they were wrapped in cellophane, nice little black Bibles. I was hoping they were King James too. But I tell you what, I watched as they took the Bibles like this. Just about all of them were kissing them, hugging them to their chest. Christians today, even in our homes. Well, Sunday. Come on, Pastor, get with it. Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand there is pleasure evermore. If you need joy today, if you are one in those difficult places, you need that. Psalms 119:105 says, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Whatever is in here will get you to heaven if you live it and obey it.
Amen.
It will. Amen. This is the very thing that is going to help us, because I've watched many stumble. I've watched many have backed away from God. And each time it's because they left this. They got away from the Word of God. Or it may be people who have given their lives to Christ, but they never grow. They stay babies from where they started all the way to their death. They never grew in the Lord. They were satisfied with they were saved and they were stuck. This is exciting. When you need it, it's going to come alive. I'm encouraging you with it. I really do. But here God reveals his heart. God is a God of love. He longs to, by the way, you know, I mentioned to a person in the church today, you know, God is a God, how we all agree God's a God of love, right?
Amen.
But did you know he's a God of vengeance? He said, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." That's why we learn to forgive and let God take care of our enemies. He's a loving God, but let him do the work in the heart of the person who abused us, hurt us, harmed us, made fun of us, whatever. Let God take care of them. And he knows how to do it, believe me. God is for us to our pre-sin status. That's really what our salvation is going to be. We're going to live as we would have if we were in the Garden of Eden. All of that that Jesus did on the cross, that was his true intention for mankind, was to live the kind of life Adam and Eve were before they sinned. Pretty nice, huh, to think God walked with them in the cool of the day? Can you imagine one day we're going to have God walking with us in the cool of the day? You're going to be conversing with him. What a great future for the child of God. And the four aspects of the curse, again, in Genesis chapter 3, sweat, sorrow, pain, and death. That was the result of what they did in the garden. Revelation 21:4. Here's the future of a true born-again believer. Not a religious person, not somebody playing games with God. This is the picture of what's going to be the future event for you and I. True Christians that love God, live for God, not perfect, but we're giving God our best to be like him. Revelation 21:4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall former things are passed away. That was the curse upon the earth. And God, in Revelation 21:4, is taking it all away and bringing it back to where you and I would have been from the very beginning. I don't like pain. I don't like sorrow. I don't like sweat, where I'm sweating all the time. I sure don't like death. And one day, God's going to take care of that.
Amen.
What a great thing, huh? That's why we got good news. I can honestly go and tell, change me. He saved me. And what was the benefit? Some people say, I don't want to give my life to Jesus. It's boring. Well, it's boring because you haven't done anything for him yet. Start working for Jesus and it'll get more exciting.
Yeah.
I always told people, see, I did that starting out. God is never boring. When I got saved, I witnessed all the time. And you don't get bored because you always get somebody calling you names, threatening to beat you up, to resist you, to reject you. It's exciting. If you're a true born-again Christian, this is your future destination with a loving God. What a great thing. He does not wish to harm anyone. God does not desire to destroy anyone either. He does not. God's not happy about the wicked who reject him and send themselves to hell. God's not excited about that. He's a loving God. The Bible tells me he wills that every man and woman would come to him and come to heaven with him. And he leaves it wide open, the door. It's your choice, people. Either live for me or don't. Your choice. And if you don't want to live with me, he still loves the wicked. He wants them to come to heaven. Because he's pure, he's holy, he's righteous. And the wicked don't want to be with him. There will be some in hell that will curse him. Scripture teaches. Even in hell, they will curse him. He's a loving God. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not. Listen. For I am with thee. Be not dismayed. For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. considering this question, like, does God really want to heal us? Me? Will God heal me? Almost answer themselves right in that scripture. I am with thee. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee. The I am was right there. The general rule is that God wants us to be healed. He wants us to be. The healing comes through faith, just like salvation does. Did you know that? Everywhere, if you read in scripture, you learn from that. Jesus showed us right there. When the disciples touched, laid hands on people, what's the statement? Thy faith has healed thee. It takes faith to receive your healing. Matthew 9:35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Every one of them. Nothing's too hard for God. Nothing. He healed everything, everything in that crowd. There is one scripture where he did not. And you know why he did not heal them? Because they did not come to him in faith. They said, oh, it's just the carpenter's son. Everybody else that got to him got healed. But those naysayers and the complainers and the murmurs, they walked by and said, ah. They're doing that today. Even in churches sometimes. They think God's a respecter of persons. He's not. God is not a respecter of persons. He loves every one of us equally. He created each one of us equally. God may make an exception occasionally to chasten people. He may allow things to happen to chasten us. Keep them from pride. Pride will send us to hell. Maybe God may allow us to have, maybe, you know, somebody that's got a lifelong battle with something. Maybe it's because God knows them, that if they live the perfect life, and I'm just theorizing, would they fall away from God eternally? And that's why God may allow people with different things in their life that go through life with problems, whether it's blindness or lack of hearing or limbs or whatever it is. Maybe he put them on the earth for you and I also to help us to learn, to appreciate what we have, and also to let us see that how important that person is to him. Because he can straighten that person out. He can take care of blindness, all of it, within a split second. But maybe we got to begin to thank God for the people who are going through life with these horrible struggles and say, I believe all these people will be raised up. I believe the cripples will, with terrible diseases in their body. They're going to be healed. It may happen within an instant. And I believe we're entering the time which we may physically begin to see that as God is moving in this earth through his Holy Spirit right now. He's starting around the world right now. I watched a little 11-year-old girl last night that had a short leg that was about, I'm going to guess, about 2.5 to 3 inches shorter than another one. They put her on a chair and put, and I know how they do it, some evangelists, how they can gradually pull it away from there and make it look like it's growing. This one didn't. She, the little girl, she had a grip on that chair. Nobody's going to pull her off that. Watched, and that preacher is all he simply said, in Jesus' name, and he put his hand on her little leg. And I literally watched her knees were up above that area too. And her knee with her foot was coming down that whole way like this. And it was perfectly level. That was God present there doing a work in that little girl who knew that Jesus was a healer. And then I watched him do it to a little, probably a 10 or 11-year-old boy. He sat there and his leg was really, it was too short to be manipulated. And the preacher did the same thing. He put his hand on there, above the knee and below the knee. In Jesus' name, and that leg went. That was our God at work. See, that's really God's desire for you and for me too. It's not God's fault that healing is not going through the body of Christ the way it should. It's our fault. He is Jehovah Rapha. He doesn't say, I'll heal you. Because I really like you. I won't heal you because I don't like the way you look. God would never do that. Isn't that awesome? Be with equal with love. And he said, come to me. I hear you. I hear you. But you're not coming to me in faith. Did you know that you think he might be and you're not? Remember Peter? Lord, I'll die with you. God says, no, you won't. No, you won't. And that's the same way it is with healing many times. We come to God and we hope he heals us. Or we think he might heal us. Or will he really heal me? That's doubt. We approach God in many different ways. Rather than just wake up with an attitude walking up and say, God, I want to receive my healing right now. Whatever it is, God, it's mine. I want it. No excuses running through my head. We use everything in the world for excuses why we don't get healed. That's why we don't get healed. We're looking for a reason so we can say to somebody says, didn't God heal you? Well, no, it's because of this or that. That's not faith. That's excuses. God didn't put any excuses for anything in here. You agree with that? You don't have to, but I believe it. Because everybody approached Jesus for healing did it in faith. And he said, your faith has healed you. The woman with the issues of blood for 12 years, all the physicians wasted all that time, all that blood she bled for 12 years. And she came up to the master, got healed. She said, I got to get to him. I got to get to Jesus. She did. And she got healed. See, God is a physician. Exodus 15:26, I'm going to say it again. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his commandments, and keep all his statutes, four conditions, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. No excuses, no exceptions, other than meeting conditions of holiness. The word used for healeth, you ever look that up in that? 70 times it's used in the Old Testament, healeth. It's also translated, when you look it up in the Greek, physician. So to say, I am the Lord, your physician, that's a trustworthy translation. God says, I'm your physician. That's what healeth your physician. He's the great physician. Yes. Second Chronicles 16:12, and Asa in the 39th month of his reign was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not the Lord, but the physicians. Now, I go to doctors and physicians. I like it with one pastor or theologian said, the reason that we have physicians and doctors a day is for all the unbelieving and doubters. We need them. That's why God's got. Well, we know Luke was a physician in Scripture too. But the great physician, thing hits our bodies or our problems in our body, who do we think of first? Got to go see the doctor. Got to go to the doctor. Need money, got to go to the bank. We think of everybody but God, and God says, and it says right here, his disease, yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. Asa's fault was that in trusting them instead of Jehovah Rapha.
That's right.
That's who he put his trust in. Jeremiah 17:5 and verse 7. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. Yes. You have an ailment in your body this morning or any situation going on, seek the Lord.
Yes.
Seek the Lord. That is, I'm not saying don't ever go to a doctor or anything. I'm just saying seek the Lord. God can use the physician too, by the way.
Amen.
But seek him first. Put God first. God, I'm asking you, Lord, that you will heal me and touch me. And if something's going on and getting worse and worse, then in common sense, maybe I better go see a doctor and trust God that God will work through the physician, which he does. Why, which is his nature, if he didn't intend on healing us? This is his intention. He healed us on the cross. Getting close here. Salvation is for the whole man. God wants to save not just our spirits, but our bodies as well. Jesus often told the people being physically healed in Luke 18:42, and Jesus said unto them, "Receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee." Thy faith. There it is. It's our faith. 19 times in the New Testament, the Greek word for save is zozo, is used of physical healing to make whole. To make someone whole. Christ's atonement is for the whole man, for the whole being, body, soul, and spirit. He died for the whole thing, emotionally, spiritually, physically, emotionally. That was on the cross when Jesus said, "It's finished." Jesus died to save us from sickness as well as sin. Just as sin affected all men, Christ's atonement avails for all men also. Matthew 14:36 again, "And besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole." As many as touched him is all you need to do is touch Jesus. That's faith. If I touch that hem, I'm going to be healed. Jesus knew that. And the Greek word here says that they were saved through and through. That's divine healing. There were no gradual partial healings in Jesus' ministry. His miracles of healing were instantaneous and complete. That's what I desire to see in my lifetime. Yes. And I believe we're on the verge. Jehovah Rapha is a covenant name which links or describes God's essential being as possessing a healing nature. The nature is further confirmed by healing in the Old Testament, and especially because the largest part of Jesus' ministry, think about that when you read the scriptures, the healing of the sick. And the Bible tells us he healed every person who came to him for asking. Every one of them. No exclusions. He didn't care whether it was a Sadducee or a Pharisee, a Samaritan, a Jew, a Greek. He didn't care. Anyone that would come to him for healing, he healed them. That's who he is. In addition, God gives many promises to heal us. Therefore, we have a firm base for faith in the Word of God, in the life of Christ, and the fundamental nature of God. And I don't have time this morning to quote all the healing scriptures. There's too many of them for this morning. But it's the Word. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. "For I am the Lord that healeth thee." A revelation of God's character. That's who he is. A promise of exception from suffering. A pledge to be God of health to them, conditioned to their obedience many times. Many times we hold back healings in our body because of lack of faith and a lack of and disobedience. He loves us. He wants us to make it to heaven whole. And just quickly, other old-time Old Testament prophets, promises, Exodus 23:25, "And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thee, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee." How many pray over your food before you eat? Important to do, isn't it? Especially, my wife and I, we speak the blood of Jesus over everything we eat, even our medications. Most of them are poison. The physician says take poison. Chemotherapy, if you have chemotherapy, speak the blood of Jesus over it. Psalms 41:3, "The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness." Psalms 103:3, "Who forgiveth all thy diseases?" Psalms 107:20, "He sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from their destruction." Proverbs 4:20, verse 22, "My son, attend unto my words." Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and death to, or excuse me, hell to all their flesh. Isaiah 53, 4, 5, we all know. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we... And we know how our Lord Jesus spent so much of his ministry healing the sick. As I said earlier, 20% of the gospel is about healing. That's a doctrine that God wants preached. He wants us to remind us. Healing is done. It's accomplished. We need to work toward the Lord. Healing every disease and sickness among the people, Matthew 4, 23. Healing every disease and sickness, Matthew 9, 35. He healed all who were sick, Matthew 12, 15. He healed all their sick, Matthew 14, 14. Matthew 14, 36, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were perfectly made whole. Power was coming from him, and he... Luke 6, 17, 19, and he came down with them and stood in the plain and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, tormented, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Whew. Boy, are we missing it. There's brothers and sisters in heaven that maybe shouldn't have been there yet. They left earth too soon. Because they said, well, God, if it's your will. I just read you God's will. Jehovah Rapha, I am the God that healeth thee. Mark chapter, I'm almost done now here. I'm getting to that famous word that you all love. Mark 16, 17, 18, Jesus said, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Not if, not might, they shall recover. They'll recover. So we have an encouragement to ask and believe God for divine healing today. Do not be afraid to ask God. Do not allow the devil to come in and say, if it be thy will, God. Now, if you're living an ungodly lifestyle, you better ask that. But if you're a Christian and you're saying, Lord, I'm doing my best, everything in my life, I'm trying to represent you, to love and to live for you and everything, but I got this physical thing that it just will not go. You can go to him and say, Lord, thank you for my healing.
Yes.
Amen. And then not walk away and say, ooh, I still have it. Oh. I'm still in pain. I don't think this thing's ever going to go away. Healing right there. You go and you say, Lord, I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. Lord, I'm healed. You may feel pain in your head, your eyes, your ears, whatever, in your whole body, and you walk around. Lord, I know I'm healed. Don't give a organ recital to God. He already knows. Just say, Lord, thank you for what Jesus did on the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me, for healing my body. Thank you, Lord. And you may be going through some excruciating things, and it's hard. Been there. But God's healed me. Times when I thought I was a goner, I kept saying, God, I'm going to stand on your word. Even if I die feeling the way I feel right now, I'm going to believe that you are a healer. And God's been so faithful to my family. We've walked through things, and will we again? Hope not, but if we do, we got a God who healed us.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Are you still with me, people?
Amen.
We need unity of faith here for God to move. Because as soon as I'm done, we're going to take a few minutes and we're going to pray for people to be healed. I'm not doing the healing, but Jehovah Rapha's here. And he wants to touch some of you this morning. He wants you to go out and tell somebody else. He wants the lost. And we can be examples too. In conclusion, I'll stop there. How we know it's God's will to heal? Because Jesus is referred as the great physician in the Bible, the healer, Jehovah Rapha. That's who he is. His role is in healing both physical and spiritual ailments. The complete body, soul, and spirit. That is why he is the great physician, because he can do them all. Many times we pray to God for healing, we don't really expect him to be healed. From this person to that person to that person. Well, I didn't get healed from Pastor Lynn. Maybe Sister Ruth can heal me. In spite of the person, God can work. Because your faith is in him, not in the person. Now, my faith, when I pray for you, should be with you. Agreeing, where two or three agree. That's my responsibility, your responsibility when you pray for people. But don't walk up to somebody that's dealing with sickness and say, God, if it be your will, heal them. It's his will. Healing's his will. And I know about all the different things why people aren't healed. And some of them are their own faults. God's will is to stop God's will by their own lifestyle or their thinking, stinking thinking, or whatever. Many times we pray to God for healing and we don't even expect it. We do it as a form. It becomes a form to us. We've done it so much that, I'll do it again. You never know. God might heal me. He's already healed you. Yes. See, that's the thinking we got to get past. He's already done it. Divine healing is the will of God. Paul prayed three times for deliverance. God didn't bring that deliverance into his life. I don't believe he was sick at that point personally. I think it was everything he was going through, and he prayed for that to be delivered from. But God did not, because Paul was a person of pride. If he would have not had those things happening, he would have been prideful and walked away from God, maybe. Who knows? But God, see, he knows us. Sometimes he allows us to walk through things if he knows something about us we don't. But even in spite of that, I say God is the healer.
Yes.
He's still the healer. And if you're a young person watching, listening, or in here, you will walk in times as a human being with sicknesses and illnesses, and you're going to cry out to God. That's why you tell the young people to run to Jesus.
Yes.
Last scripture, 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things in health, even as thy soul prospers. Let's all stand, please. Jesus healed all. I don't find in the scriptures everyone that Jesus healed came to him in faith. I want you to start coming up here. I'm going to ask Rick, Fred, Mark, if he's back there, Dan's not here today. I'm going to ask you guys to come up here, get the anointing oil. We're going to pray for people. We're not going to take a long time, but we're going to pray for those who want it to be prayed for, because you know you're healed. You're walking up here because you know according to the word. You know you're healed?
Amen.
Do you know you're healed?
Amen.
We're going to see a mighty move of God. Do you want to be part of that group?
Yes.
Now, when you get anointed with oil, don't focus on the person anointing you. Focus on Jehovah Rapha.
Yes.
He's the one that says, I'm the healer. Look to me, because you're healed. Look to the cross. Look to the cross. Jesus said it's finished.
Yes.
Go ahead, start, guys. Just tell them to receive that healing that's theirs.
God, Jehovah Rapha,
I anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Lord.
We will trust you, Jehovah Rapha, you're our healer, you and you alone, God Jehovah.
Father, you're here this morning. You said where two or three agree in your name, you're there in the midst. And Lord, we know you're here. We know your many, many names, El Shaddai, and all your other names, Father, that cover every area of our life. But then this morning, Lord, we want to emphasize Jehovah Rapha, that beautiful heals thee. Lord, let us get a warmth in our hearts knowing that you touch people this morning. Those watching, let them receive right now that divine healing power that was accomplished upon that cross, that by your broken body that we receive healing by those stripes, that we were and are healed. We were and we are healed. We were and we are healed. Lord, we are, we were healed. We are, we were healed. We thank you, Lord. We receive it by faith right now, rejecting all thoughts of death and sickness and disease and disturbances of all types. We command them to be gone. We resist them. Let them flee from us, Lord, and we receive by faith healing power given to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you so much. I believe many, even walking out of here, will receive that healing manifestation. Never to let that go, but to thank you, for it's done. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for the cross where that was accomplished. Thank you, Jesus, for submitting, because you cared and loved us so much. You wanted to heal us. You want to save us, Father. So, Lord, we surrender all that to you right now by faith, knowing that what we came forward for, asking a healing virtue, we thank you for it's done. It's upon us. It's in us through the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And we walk in that today. I walk in healing today. If the enemy comes and tries to attack me with a pain or any kind of suffering, I speak the word. The Bible says that by Jesus' stripes I am healed. Lord, I walk in divine healing this new day, and I worship you. And I'm interceding for family, friends who need it right now, that by Jesus' stripes they are healed. And I will speak it to them, that God loves them and healed them in Jesus' name. Lord, we praise you. We thank you for this day. Hear every home, Lord. Should Jesus tarry, let us come back next week, Lord, with maybe more people that are being healed out in our neighborhoods that want to tell somebody about Jesus. Lord, use us as a church to represent you. And we receive that benefit today by faith. It's one of them that you want us to proclaim to the world, Lord, that you are Jehovah Rapha in a sick, sick world. So thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. I thank you for my brothers and sisters, and we are in unity believing your word, that together we are a mighty army leaving this building today. In Jesus' name we pray it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at somebody on the way out and say, I am healed in Jesus' name. All right. I am healed in Jesus' name.